and then I'll get on, I'm on the mic, I'll put up this study, and here we are. Almost, very good, whoa. Maybe that should be blown outside. Today we'll get all kind of attention.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever read it in Numbers 10?
Of course they did. They were in the same form.
No, I mean, I wanted to make sure they remembered it. Okay. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabem Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And we're going to pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, knowing that you hear us and you see us right now, cover us in your holy blood of any sin. You said you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, knowing that you know every thought in our minds and our hearts and souls, Lord and God, there's no secrets with you. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. I pray you put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. I pray you'll bless this study, make it fruitful for everyone. Let it be for the edifying of the body and the glory of the living God. May God heal you today. If you need healing in your bodies and souls, I thank God for healing it and me. And I hope God answers your prayers too in Yeshua's name. May God touch you and deliver you. And may God give us all right decisions in our life. We need right decisions and we need right direction and paths to walk correctly. And may God give us always a contrite heart and a heart that's toward him. And may God increase us in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. And may God bless you today in Yeshua's name. And may God open doors for winning more souls. We need more brothers and sisters, Father. You know, we long for brothers and sisters throughout this world. Show us where they're at. We'll go get them or bring them to us. Whatever way you want to do it, Father. We're ready in Yeshua's name. Amen. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here we are on Maple Street in Holland-Vault, Tennessee, and it's usually a quiet little Maple Street, but today it's packed out there. It's not that quiet. There we are. There's our phone numbers if you need to talk to us. There's our email if you ever want to email me. This is about the ministry. This is my email for the ministry, of course. My other email is for just, you know, personal stuff. There's my website. Website's still running. I was thinking about that this morning. I got on my website. I go, wow, I forgot about it for a week, and it's so faithful. It's still running. Isn't that funny when you forget about it? It's still running 24/7. So at any time, if you ever want to watch a video or listen to an audio or read some text or look something up, if I get a chance, I'm going to try to fix the search programs on there, because without the search, I know sometimes it's hard. If you don't know how to, you can do control and F, and you could, you know, I think it's control F, where you could search, yeah, the find, you could do that on anything, and it'll find everything. Anyway, we could go over that later. Today is Friday the 13th. I hope no one's here. You know, what's that word? We're not superstitious. It's Friday the 13th, 2017, in the 21st century. Yes. The reason why I like saying 21st century, because we had the opportunity to live in two centuries, the 20th and now the 21st century. Today is the 13th. Wow. And this octa means eight, but now it's the 10th month, which is very confusing. If you follow the Gregorian calendar, we acknowledge God's calendar. We're in the 22nd day of Ha'etanim today. And there's Ha'etanim, the seventh month of God. There's the little Aleph and Tav, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There they are in red. See that? And our Elohim means enduring, the permanent brooks, the living waters. So anyway, those are the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And there it is right there. He's the first and last forever. That's what that really means. And there's the Neem, which is Itan, which means perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing stream. And that's where that Neem, Im comes from, Neem. Remember, you guys know more than most people. It's not Tishrei. It's not when the earth was created, because no one would know that. It's not Adam's birthday. No one would ever know that. It's definitely not New Year, because it's the seventh month. And Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. It's not the head of the year. It's ridiculous. So stay away from Judaism. Stay away from some messianic groups, and some Protestant groups that follow Judaism and messianics. It's part of procession of error there. So you've got to be very careful. There's the proof that it's the seventh month. In case anyone says to you, it's New Year, say, no, it's not. There it is, 1 Kings 8:2. Make sure you know that verse. My ministry is a teaching ministry, and I like to bring up subjects and topics in the Bible that maybe you're not familiar with, maybe you never heard it in a church, or I like to undelete some of these things for you. I use that term because I use computers a lot. There's all the websites you can go to. You can never say you have nothing to do. You can always go to subjects, which is the text, or you can go to that next one. This one right here is to just hear the MP3s. This one is the videos that we do nowadays. You can actually see me if you are so inclined to do. And then if you want to, you can even download the MP3s to your MP3 players. If you want to say, like, you go walking and you want to listen to a study, you can just download it right there. All you do is right-click that. You get on then and you put save as, and you save it to somewhere, and don't forget where you save it, okay? Anyway, we're in the One of Messiah Shabbat room, and today's the eighth day of the feast, the great day. Let's see, we're streaming on Paltalk, I believe. We try to do as much as we can. I haven't received any invitations lately. I don't know what happened to the person that was going to invite me to do the Hebrew roots. I have to contact them again because I don't know what happened to them, but I'll make sure they don't get away too easy. Anyway, today's subject, there it is right there, the eighth day, Yom HaShemini. There's the Sabbath, Shabbat, and it's a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh. Does everybody remember what holy convocation is? Everybody remember what that is? It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly, a rehearsal, and it's a solemn assembly, a tzedet, and it's a rest, a shabbaton. And all these words are in the Hebrew in different places. You could look that up yourself if you like Hebrew. We like that, some of us. So it's the last day, a great day, a holy convocation, a solemn assembly. I'm sure everyone is familiar now with Leviticus 23, even though maybe in the past you probably hardly ever read it, Leviticus 23, but we always bring it into focus. Speak unto the children of Israel and say in the 15th day of the seventh month, we did the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And I really thank you for being here today for this week. It's been great. Unto Jehovah, the first day was a holy convocation. We didn't do any work. And the seventh day was a holy convocation. And that was, yesterday. And then the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. It is a solemn assembly, and that's why we're gathered together. Solemn assembly. And there's that word that said it right there. So that's exactly what it means. It means an assembly, especially a holy day, a meeting. It's a public meeting, you know. It said it. Atzara, you know. So there's two different words right there. And back to Leviticus 23, we actually proclaim the feast of the Feast of Jehovah, which we proclaim to be holy convocations, and we did this. Everyone brought an offering, I hope. I don't remember. I hope you did. And everyone, let's see, everyone upon his day. And this is besides what you do during the year, besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, and besides your gifts that you do give during the year, and besides your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give unto Jehovah. And remember, offerings don't go to us. We don't go spend it on us. I don't go buy myself clothes or go out to eat with church money. That's how, God forbid. But it goes into our little coffers, you know. It goes to our little church account in the event anyone ever needs anything in the future. Like, let's say you come on hard times 2 months from now and you go, oh, I can't afford, my car broke down, and you're part of the congregation. We'll be glad to assist you, or whatever the situation would be. You know, you understand that? That's what tithes are all about. And in the 15th day, we did this already. We had the Feast of Tabernacles. And today's the eighth day. So you guys know all these verses. We put the branches on there, and the branch is symbolic of the branch of the Lord, that we want him to protect us and cover us in our lifetime, like he did in the past. And Lord willing, we want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. And it is a statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Very clear, seventh month, many places. Not New Year, not Tishrei, but some people still don't get it. We dwelled in booths. We went in our little booth there that we made, and we were there 7 days reading Bible, and we had two different booths to go to. So we went here, and we went to yours, and you know, Zach's was a little lonely. We didn't go in there. We should have went there. But anyway, we dwelled in booths, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the Feast of Jehovah. We did it again, so thank God we could say we did it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So, solemn assembly. So, we have the solemn assembly in Leviticus 23. And here's another 8 day. And it's the 8th day, solemn assembly. And Nehemiah says the same thing. And they found written, just like, I always feel like Nehemiah feels for some reason. Because, I don't know, they gave me the feeling they weren't doing it before this. But they found written in the Torah, the law, which Jehovah had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month. They actually found it just like we did. I mean, a lot of times we never found that, right? But we found it, and now we're doing it too. Like, wow, how did we miss that? And that we should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches. And we didn't have any olive branches, pine branches, myrtle. We had thick trees, I know that. We had thick branches of trees and of that nature. And there's one of these days I'll probably have to get a book and try to figure out all the different trees we have here. I don't even know the kinds of bushes and trees that are out there. I should learn all that. That would be interesting to know. Just that will keep you busy for a while. So the people went forth and they made themselves booths. We didn't have any on anybody's housetop in the courts and in the court. And in the courts of the house of God, and they did it in their courts, and the courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity, and we were all captive by Satan, and we were loosed by God. I thank God for that many times. I always feel very fortunate, actually, because it could have been somebody else in my family, and I could have been still back in New York just doing what everybody else is doing. And you know, somebody else in your family could have been here. Picture that. If you have a lot of family, somebody else could have been here and you could have been somewhere else. And it says, and they sat under the booths since the days of Yeshua, the son of Nun. It's not Nun, by the way. It's not Nun. It's Nun. Okay? Nun. Nun. Okay? And unto the day that had not the children of Israel done so. And it was great gladness. And we had some pretty good gladness there. We had some pretty good cheer. Sameach. We were definitely, very happy. Huh? Joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, we're not a bunch of mopes here. We make sure we enjoy everything. And God makes us happy, you know. We also had some sisters visit us from California that we never met before, and I'm very thankful that we met you, because I feel like I've known you my whole life, actually. I don't feel like I just met you. I feel like I've always known you for some reason. And we did this the 8th day. And then we have Chronicles. Solomon kept the feast. Same thing, Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a very great congregation. And the 8th day, they did it too. So, even from the time of the Torah, even to Solomon, they did it. And they had a solemn assembly today. I just want to go over a few other solemn assemblies in the Bible. I don't know if you ever noticed these. In Deuteronomy, 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly. We did that in the spring. We'll be doing it again, Lord willing, in the coming spring, which is not for many months to come. But that's called a solemn assembly too, the 7th day. This time it's the 8th day, the solemn assembly. Book of Joel has, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Jehovah, your God, and cry unto Jehovah. That's when you want to get something from God. You call upon him, you know. And a solemn assembly, again, is just, it's a meeting. It's a get-together of people of like-minded belief where we could all fellowship. And it's very important. You may not realize how important this is, but you might when you go back to wherever you're going to end up, and then you realize, wow, where did everyone go that was like-minded? And you start meeting all the Hittites again, and the Amorites, and the Girgashites, and you start you start thinking, like, what in the world? And they all want to do something different, you know? Brother Joel, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, which we do. We sanctify a fast call, a solemn assembly. There's some more assemblies, solemn assemblies. Did you know even the pagans have solemn assemblies? Did you know that? Second Kings, Yahu, his name, is proclaimed the solemn assembly for Baal, and they proclaimed it. So, believe it or not, a lot of words in the Hebrew is used for good things and bad things, just like the word Elohim. The Elohim means God or gods, false gods, you know? So you don't think that, but we know what we're talking about when we say, you know, Elohim or Yah or... Anyway, so it's the last day, the great day of the feast today. And we've been feasting too, physically. I feel like I've been feasting. Brother John, even like here it is now, hundreds of years in the future, because we get a chance to do the little time machine here. We went from the Torah to the Kings. Now we're going to... We're going up to John and where the apostles are. He says the last day, the great day of the feast, that's the eighth day, the sacred assembly, the atzeret, and it's a Sabbath. Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any person thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. He's talking about those scriptures in Jeremiah, which I always bring up, the living water scriptures, you know. It says, but this he spake, where is it? But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. This is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. And if you didn't ever got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe that you could still get it, because it's to you and to all that are far off, as many as our Lord God had called. So don't think it's not available. I remember I got it, my wife got it, and other people get it. It's just sort of gives you an intestinal fortitude, a drive, you know, just a unmovable, you know, just like Peter, you know, makes you just like. Remember, Peter denied the Lord before he got it. And after that, boy, you couldn't stop him, you know, in the book of Acts. Anyway, some other verses on the eighth, on some other verses of eight-day events or events on the eighth day. I noticed that in Genesis, that on the eighth day, babies that are 8 days old, they're circumcised. Every man in his congregation, he that is born in the house or is brought with money, or any stranger that is not of thy seed. So there's another eighth day event. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Leviticus 14, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be a law of even the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be on the seventh day, that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair, he shall shave off. It's a lot of shaving. And he shall wash his clothes. And it says, and also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. That's a leper. Check this out. On the eighth day, there's the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before Yehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you can read the rest of that. I'm just showing you some different places you could read. Okay? Leviticus 15. This is not a long study today. I'm just going over some 8-day different things. Here's Leviticus 15, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses and to Aaron. Remember now, you guys got it when Jehovah is speaking to Moses. It isn't like a words hitting Moses in the head or a big mouth coming at him. But God is right there speaking to Moses and saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man had a running issue out of his flesh because of the issue, he's unclean. So if you ever have cuts that have putrefying sores or leakage, whatever you want to call it, you're unclean. Make sure you take care of it correctly. Okay? And when he that is had an issue, is cleansed of his leper, then he shall number to himself 7 days. That's 7 days again. A lot of sevens in the Bible. For his cleansing, and wash his clothes. You got to always wash those clothes. And bathe his flesh in running water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, there's the eighth day, he shall take 2 turtle doves. That's two doves, not turtles, okay? That's what that means. Or 2 young pigeons. There's those pigeons. And come before Yehovah unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for the sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Jehovah for his issue. And this happens on the eighth day. So it sounds like the priest always had to be ready for people. You know, they had to be available. You understand? Because, you know, they never knew. Because you got to remember, it's a giant congregation. And I'm sure there was lots of people that were coming to all the different priests, and they had to make sure they were always available to do these things so they can present them clean before the congregation and Yehovah. Leviticus 22. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a heg or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. 7 days. And from the eighth day and thence forth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. Did you ever notice that? That's pretty interesting. So there's that 7 days under the dam. Everybody knows what that is, right? That's mom. And from the eighth day, on the eighth day, it shall be accepted for an offering. That's, so it has to be like that. Number 6:1. There's Jehovah speaking unto Moses. Just think, Jehovah spoke unto Moses so many times. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite. Remember that we talked about that. Remember that? Nazareth and the Nazarite vow and the whole thing about the Nazarene, you know, or lends itself to each other and the whole thing. Anyway, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto Jehovah, all the days of his separation he is holy unto Jehovah. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And then on the eighth day he shall bring the 2 turtles... dove, that's the 2 doves, or 2 young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him that he sinned by the dead. Even if isn't that amazing if it's accidental? And shall hollow his head the same day, because he's supposed to be separate unto God. And all of a sudden some guy dies right next to him. It's like, ah! He's, you know, that's how holy God is. Just an example. I don't know if you ever get a glimpse of how holy God really must be. You know, he doesn't want us to go flirt with the devil or go hang out with Hittites and Amorites and mingle the holy seed with weasels out there. And we don't want to do this either. We don't want to be around unclean things as much as possible. And Brother Peter, who I sort of trust, because he was right there with Yeshua. He's a witness. I always feel a little, not jealousy, but I feel a little, I wish I had the opportunity to be there, to actually meet Yeshua and see all the miracles that he did. And not only that, when he died and rose from the dead and he comes back and talks to you after he's been dead, and he was there 40 days speaking to them of everything. Remember that? That must have been supernatural, man. See, we all believe by faith. These guys actually had stuff happen right in front of their eyes. I mean, talk about their faith must have been so gigantic, you know, because you know that, wow, this here he is. He died. He fulfilled all the scriptures. He died and he rose from the dead. I mean, who's going to stop, you know, who would stop you? Peter says, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah. He was the eighth person. He's a preacher of righteousness. There's that number eight again. He's the bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Oh boy, I can just imagine when that God shut them in and it started raining and the earth opened the waters. People were probably trying to claw, you know, this claw on that door, trying to get in. Let me in, but there was no escape. Can't even imagine that, really. That's one of those things you have to say la and sit down and think about the flood and when God shut them in and it was over. They did have 100 years to get on the ark. Noah preached for a long time. And I suspect some people, after 20 years, might even helped him and died. Maybe some people, 30 years, helped him and died, 40, 50, 60. He preached for 70 years. They didn't get on. Some people might have been helping him. They died. Might be a lot of people that made it. We just don't know about that. I mean, even Methuselah, I think, was there at the end. He might have helped him. I don't know. But only 8 people got on the ark at the end. No? That's a symbol right there. Out of a whole world, 8 people got on. That's a sign right there. And as he prayed, the fashion of his, okay, it says, and it came to pass about the 8th day after these sayings. This is 8th day after the, now this is another thing that took place. In Luke we have, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So Yeshua waited 8 days after a certain event, and then he went up into a mountain. Isn't that with Peter, James, and John? And they went to pray together. Imagine going to pray with Yeshua. That would be so great. I mean, you know, wow. And as he prayed, his fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which was Moses and Eliyahu, who appeared in glory. Now, remember, they're supposed to be dead, right? Their bodies are in the dust, but their spirits were God. And here they are showing up. Here's Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease when he should be what he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Wow. These guys, I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, that's a deep sentence. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they were like, wait a minute. And they saw his glory, and the 2 men that stood with him, they were like, they couldn't stay awake for some reason. The devil puts a spirit of lethargy on your noggin, and you start passing out, and you start falling asleep, and you miss everything that's going on. And Peter, they woke up and go, whoa, 2 men, what are those 2 men? And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Yeshua, he was so, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. No, 1 for you and one for Moses and 1 for Elijah. No way. They're no way equal to Yeshua. Not knowing what he said. He was just like, whoa. While he thus spake, there came a cloud. Here comes the cloud. You know who comes in the cloud. Cloud overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the whole cloud. The cloud came all about them. Wow, could you imagine a cloud just coming around you and overshadowing you? I can't. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Oh, man. That'd be like, And when the voice was passed, Yeshua was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Of course, later on they did. Remember that? That's quite I mean, gosh, I'd like to see just a little tiny cloud. I mean, you know, just anything. Imagine that. Here's John, Brother John, you could trust. He's a good witness. He actually saw the Lord too and was right there. I mean, these are men that were right there. These are not just names in a book somewhere. These are actual witnesses of the Messiah. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut. The doors were shut and Yeshua came anyway. Did you catch that? And stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace unto you, Shalom Alechem." And that's what he said. Then said he to Thomas, oh, everyone knows Doubting Thomas, that's the little name. He said, "Reach hither your finger and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." If I was there, I would have just fainted, I think. I don't know how you feel, but that's like a real, like, whoa. And Thomas answered and said unto him, he told Yeshua, "My Lord and my God." Amen. So Yeshua, when he rose, he had the nail-pierced hands and the wound in his side. Yeshua said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe now." And this is for us. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Amen. Praise the Lord. And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book or on this website. But these were written that you might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son, the Word of God made flesh of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's a Jewish guy writing that. So, all I can say, beware soon. Many pagan holidays will be springing up. We are commanded by God, learn not the way of the heathen. That means don't hang out with the heathen either. Thus saith Jehovah, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. The customs of the people, they're really vain. You know, you ever look up the word vain? It's worthless. It's nothing. It says, especially, you know, people in the past when they made idols, and they still do things like that today, they cut down trees from the forest with their hands, and they go for some reason, they got this thing about taking a tree and decorating it. They even did this in the pagan days for idols, but people do that today. They decorate dead trees. I always wondered, I always thought that is, you know, now that I'm in this mindset, no wonder why the Jews always laughed at the Gentiles, because they're buying a bunch of dead trees. Think how crazy that really is. It's not going to live. And anyway, these dead trees, they can't move, right? They can't walk by themselves either.
That's not a tree that's...
This is talking about an idol. I said that numerous times, but I'm saying even today, people are using a tree and singing to it and decorating it. And who knows, they make idols out of that. I think people are just idol worshippers. Just like the when God made that snake in the wilderness, that you have to look at it, the serpent, that if you look at it, you get healed. And later on, it was called Nehushtan. You know, they started praying to it. They kept it. That's ridiculous. People always like to keep their little trinkets, and God says, "You worship me, nothing else." Anyway, so once, and you guys know about once upon a time, you could tell people, Halloween was banned in America. Did you know that was banned? Because it was a satanic pagan holiday, and wasn't celebrated till 1845. 1845 is not that long ago. And you know about this name Samhain. He's the Lord of death and evil spirits, which I always wonder about that when parents dress their little daughter like a witch and they get the fake blood and they put it on the mouth and all that stuff. How could that be something. I don't even know if they're hypnotized and they're doing it. It's got to be. You guys know about Halloween by now, right? Yeah. Anyway, if you don't, you can just read this little piece right here. Okay? It's about Halloween. The Lord of Death assembled. It says, October 31st, they assemble the spirits of all who had died during the previous year. The spirits have been confined to inhabit animal bodies for the past year as punishment for evil deeds. That's what they, some people actually believe that. There was they were allowed to return to their former home to visit the living on October 31st, the eve, the feast of Samhain. Druid priests are involved in all that, diabolical worship ceremonies with horses, cats, black sheep, oxen, human beings, and other offerings were rounded up, stuffed into wicker cages, and burned to death. You guys may not believe this, but one time even on POW Talk, we had to stop this guy. He was telling us how he sacrificed his kid, and that was so evil. I thought, I had to like red dot him. Yeah, it was such a satanic thing. Anyway, this was done to appease Samhain and keep spirits from harming them. That's what that trick-or-treat is all about. Such a satanic thing. The trick is you get tricked. The devil comes and do something to you, or otherwise you better give him a treat. But they make it sound so cute to kids, but it's not. Anyway. So, be careful on these pagan holidays come, because there's a lot of evil things going on. And believe it or not, there are a group of people on, if you don't believe me, you can look online. They're called pagans, and that's what they like to be called. They love this day, okay? They love the Celtic festival held on November 1st to mark the beginning of winter. I don't know how you could love winter when everything's dead and frozen. And the beginning of the false New Year. Just think, Pope Gregory got his whole brainwashed doing New Year in January when everything's dead and frozen. God's New Year is in the spring, during Passover, around March. That's how crazy the world is. God's New Year is in the spring when everything's new, symbolic of the resurrection, symbolic of your rebirth. Satan's got everybody doing New Year when everything's dead and frozen. Happy New Year. No wonder why everybody gets drunk. Because they're freezing. Anyway, it's clear that the Halloween has always been a pagan celebration of death, so don't let anybody try to Christianize it, or now people are dressing up like Bible characters or something. That's stupid. Or they're dressing up like, I don't know, even dressed their animals up. What did I read to you about the National Retailers Association, that $9 point something billion are going to be spent? $9 billion on dressing up everything. And of course, you got to be very careful of sex and the transgenders and all that stuff. You got to be real careful. That's how satanic the world is. They made all these other satanic abominations an actual, agenda. That's really bad. Anyway, in conclusion, pretty soon, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the eighth month is called Bul, not Bull, okay? It's called Bul, okay? That's a Shiruk. And, you know, it's a Bul. And there it is, 1 Kings 6:38. So you can know that for the next month after the seventh month is over. The eighth month is called Bul. And Bul in Hebrew means rain. And, that's what happens usually. So remember, the fall holy days and feast of God of Israel are over for this year again. Isn't that amazing? We waited for them to come. We couldn't wait for them to come. Now they're all over. The last harvest of the year is over. It's over. The rest is just all paganism. And the festival. Be careful about the festive lights and the little music they play and the false cheer they put up and the false... you get false emotions and false depression and false... when it's all just imaginary. None of that really exists. That's just something they just paint out there. They paint and all the songs and all the movies on TV. That's just... believe it or not, it's just really all imaginary. But they got everyone believing that it's real. You could, and you make sure you look at, maybe we'll look at it today. Well, maybe we should look at it today. Christmas Unwrapped. That'll be something to look at. And they will show you that for some reason, the History Channel, I have no, they must have got a lot of flack from this because they actually showed all the, how, all the whole pagan holiday. They even say it comes from pagan origin. The History Channel. That was really amazing. Anyway, one last note, which I felt I needed to announce this. One last note, watch boasting your plans for the future. I know a lot of people do that without saying, Lord willing. That's really important. Brother James has a little story here. He goes, go to now, you that say today and tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Without saying, Lord willing. I always say, Lord willing, everything I do. No, because you really don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. For that, or what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You should say, you ought to say, if the Lord will, I'm going to live and do this or that. But now some people rejoice in their boasting, or such rejoicing, believe it or not, is evil if you don't say that. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Wow, that's a deep. So I always want to, I just want to make sure everybody always says, well, Lord willing, I'll see you again. Or Lord willing, we'll meet you again. Lord willing, I'll, you know, it's really important. Otherwise, you're just boasting that you're going to be living tomorrow, which could be a lie. It turns out to be a lie because you might die.
Sin.
In other words, if you know to do good,
you know what to do good is you know what sin is and what sin is.
You know what you should be doing and you don't.
If you know what you're supposed to be doing and you don't do it, that's sin.
Okay.
I mean, we're all doing mikra kodesh. We're all here in a public meeting, a sacred assembly. We went out of our way. We remember how we used to go out of our way for Satan, right? Doing all the fake things. So how much more now that you know there's a living God and you go out of your way for God? Excuse me. We can't have two.
Therefore, that is in respect to what he just said.
Yeah, that's in respect to what he just said.
Yeah.
He said, now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil.
Yeah.
So if you know to do good, in other words, you say, Lord willing, we're going to be around later and I'll see you. Lord willing, I'll come over. You know,
don't even say anything.
Or anything for that matter.
It's
huh?
All about faith. Well, it's about what it's being.
It's
keeping your word.
It's very, look, we all, it's very simple. It's the, we're talking about in the framework of a Torah mindset. If you know what to do and you don't do it, it is sin.
So
that's how simple it is. Yeah, and
so
don't do anything. In other words, we're in this, like, you know, this ball of Torah. Anything outside of that would be sin. And if you try to make it right, you're just sinning more because you're adding to the word. Right. Anyway, see you tomorrow on the weekly Sabbath, Lord willing.
This is the last great.
Not going to get me. Shabbat Shalom. Anyway, I hope you got something out of the study today. There's a lot of 8-day of things and a lot of 7-day things. And there's a lot of these few verses that you put in the Bible that Brother James, by the way, was the half-brother of Yeshua. So you could trust him, too. He was right there. And he knows that if you know what to do and you don't do it, it's sin. If you know God's Sabbath is today and you don't want to do it, that's sin. If you know stealing, you're going to go steal or lie or cheat or be a sneak, and that's sin. If you don't tell the truth, that's sin. If you think you have little private things going on, that's sin, because if you're afraid to talk about it, that's sin. There's something must be wrong about it, right? I don't have any secrets, so if I, you know, I don't want a secret. So anyway. So anyway, I hope you got something out of this study. And thank you for being here. I don't even know if any... Oh, we've got a few people in the room. Thank you for being here, Joe and Lonnie. And God bless everyone today. Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this day. And bless the rest of this. Bring us back together, Lord willing, tomorrow for this other Sabbath. But today, bless the food and make it for the nourishment of our bodies. And help us with everything we do, with right decisions in the framework of a Torah mindset, which is very important. We have to do everything in the framework of a Torah mindset. And you should be cognitive of that and mindful of that. So anything that you do, Father, we always make sure that we make sure that you would do it. Would you do that? That's a good way of knowing if something's right or wrong, Father. I thank you that you taught me that. Or would I be doing that if I knew the Lord was coming back right this second? Then I know if something's right or wrong. And I thank you for those two little things that you taught me, Father, in Yeshua's name. And may God teach everyone here those two little parables in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And if you didn't understand those two little things, I'll tell you again. If you ever want to know if something's right, just say to yourself, would Jesus be doing that? That will tell you if it's right or wrong. And then if the other one you say, if you want to know if something's right, would you be doing that exact thing if you knew the Lord was coming right back right now? If you get a yes on those two questions, it's probably right. If you don't, you're doing something wrong and you better not do it. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Don't do anything the Lord wouldn't do. Don't do anything the apostles wouldn't do. Right? I mean, hello? Right. I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, those little parables I made up for myself a long time ago, you don't have to follow them, but I made them up for myself because I thought that's an easy way to not sin. Yeah. If I go, would Jesus do that? I usually get a yes or no like that. Right? Or would you do it if the Lord was coming back right this second? Get a yes or no, just like that. There's no maybes or buts or could be, because you know the Lord is either going to do something or not, right? So that's a good way to think about it. Anyway, God bless everyone, and we'll be back, Lord willing, in an hour. So Shabbat Shalom. Did you want to say something? Okay, let me stop the video and audio real quick, and you don't want to say it on here? Okay. All right, we'll come up here and say it then. Okay, Sister Jacqueline has something to say.
Okay, so I wrote it down somewhere.
Okay.
Or typed it out. Okay, so basically, in Joel, we know there's that verse about the solemn assembly, right? It's like sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, right? Yeah. That's just like God's just telling them to do that at that time. It's not like you can just obviously call a solemn assembly at any time, but that wasn't a feast or a Sabbath, right?
No.
It's just like call.
No, it's a
call everybody. Call
no, a solemn assembly. A solemn assembly doesn't have to be a Sabbath.
Yeah.
No. If that is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like
Psalm Assembly don't have to be a Sabbath. No. Psalm Assembly is just a Psalm Assembly is a public meeting.
Yeah.
It's just like a mikra kodesh. It's a sacred gathering of people.
Okay.
See, there's something
so
really
it's not always a Sabbath.
And since I Esther, they called a fast for a big problem.
Okay, so you could call a solemn assembly in a time of trouble anytime or whatever if you needed to.
Oh, so you get isn't calling everybody even doing that? I mean, you know.
Alright, that makes more sense now. Okay,
yeah.
And then the other one is, okay, I've had this come up before, and I don't know how necessarily to answer it where they can get it. I don't know if there really is an answer, but say a Protestant is like, oh, or even somebody into Judaism or whatever is like, oh, so-and-so from the dead came back or whatever and is talking to me. And but, you know, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So I can talk to them like, I know where, you know, it says in Torah not to talk to the dead, obviously. But then they use the whole thing. Well, Moses and Elijah came and, you know, like on the mount.
Yeshua brought them.
Because Yeshua brought them?
Yeah, Yeshua. That was God brought them to show them something.
Okay,
yeah.
Totally so, like,
different.
So how do you explain that? to people. You know, like that's not what they're thinking.
And guess what?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Could you give me give me a real scenario of like somebody walks up to you and says what?
They really said that?
They said, okay, like, oh, Grandpa so-and-so who is, you know, a Baptist preacher and he's with the Lord and all this stuff. Anyway, he came and told me this stuff or whatever, you know?
Like, that's just their imagination.
I know.
You should be a Catholic. You hear that all the time.
Yeah.
No, that's...
How do you say... Whenever you're telling them, well, that can't be because you're not supposed to talk to the dead.
Ecclesiastes,
are they alive?
Ecclesiastes says they have nothing to do forever anything.
The Bible, the Bible says we have no more portion in this
life.
You know
what else I say?
What?
I say, well, mostly Catholics.
I don't have anybody ever say that to me.
They are talking to the dead. But, I mean, my mom even told me that my aunt...
Okay, I'm going to stop the recording because it's on. Did you want to come up here and talk?
Yeah, I'm just stopping recording.
Okay.
This is a big
Let me stop this because this is a long answer. God bless everyone.